When I was your age, I would lug 50 pounds of ice up 5-6 flights of stairs.
So what?
So what? So let's dance.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. Kevin Gauthier is not with us today. He is partying in Las Vegas. Sitting with me right across the way is my special guest co-host, Lawrence Deloche.
What's up, everyone? How's everyone doing?
And we have a special guest in the house today. We have very funny comedian, I use that loosely, Mr. Kevin Dombrowski. Welcome, Kev.
This is, it might be the best intro to a podcast I've ever heard.
You like that?
A little stutter step and then a backhanded compliment. That's nice. I dig it.
If I don't stutter step, I'm not me.
This is you're like the slow jams of comedy right now. That's what it feels like.
It's like the 80s jams.
And with us today,
this is the Midnight Storm.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're happy to have you here. Okay, look, guys, let's get right into it. We talk sports and movies and why not. But let's get right into the NFL, man. You know, big NFL weekend, opening week. Just kind of curious on people's thoughts. Let's start with the Giants. You're a Cowboy fan, right?
Nah, I'm a Colts fan. We got our own problems.
You are not a Colts fan.
I'm a Peyton Manning fan, so I stick around with him.
But that's my son's favorite team, too. Colts. They may have had the worst debut of a team opening the season that I've seen.
Yeah, we got destroyed by the Los Angeles Rams.
I mean, you were annihilated by the Rams.
Yeah, but, you know, hopefully luck comes. I mean, I think this is going to be a 5-win season for us, and I think we fired Pagano.
I think he'll be gone. The interesting thing is, what if Luck doesn't come back? They say that we don't want to rush him. He has kind of like a Peyton Manning type of
thing. Are we talking the player or just Luck in general? Like, what if Luck doesn't come around for the Colts?
Well, I mean, I think if Luck doesn't get better, then the Luck won't get better. I think
even with Luck, there was no Vontae Davis the other day. I thought that was my lock of the week, by the way. But even with no Vontae Davis and Luck comes back, I still don't think they have a good enough defense. No. I don't think they have a really good running game. Marlon Mack isn't quite ready yet. He's a nice player. He's a year away.
He vaulted a touchdown yesterday from Frank Gore. So.
He did. Yeah. If you're the Colts and you get one of those top three picks, you're not picking a quarterback. Mm-mm. I think it throws an interesting monkey wrench into next year's draft, because next year's draft is supposed to be a big, heavy draft, but the top three players are quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, and looking at the way this team is constructed right now, I legitimately feel like we will be vying for a top three pick. If Luck doesn't come back, he's already been ruled out for next Sunday, and they didn't put him on the PUP list. But at the end of the day, he will be out for a couple weeks. And if we start out 0-3, 0-4, I mean, what's the point? You might just shut him down early.
Yeah.
I got to say, you guys sound excited about the season.
I mean, it's been some major injuries already.
They lost 47-9. Mm-hmm. Okay, it was a major, major ass-kicking.
Right, but look at it this way. They got 9 points. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I'm half-cup is full guy.
Yeah.
But they could have gotten no points.
They could have been
the fucking Bengals.
Yeah, how do you get points again in football? I forgot.
There were. I'll tell you this weekend, there were multiple teams who didn't find the end zone in terms of they didn't score touchdowns. San Francisco.
Giants.
The Giants, which, you know, the Bengals. The
Giants looked like shit.
Yeah. I mean, well, once again, their O-line is terrible.
Terrible.
You know, and then Eli is not, you know, he can't get out.
Well, you know what the problem with Eli is? Is it, like, now you don't get a chance to really practice. How much preseason did he really play?
You can
scrimmage and you can scrimmage against yourself, but nothing simulates game action.
Mm-hmm.
And there was zero chemistry mm-hmm. between him and Brandon Marshall, even as far as targets went.
Yeah.
Okay. Now back in the old days, they these guys would play at least a game and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Totaling.
Mm-hmm.
What did Eli play? Did he play a quarter in the preseason?
Well, how old is he now?
Eli's 36. 36,
yeah. Well, that's all right. So that's the reason.
No, he's getting there, but he's also playing with a new new top receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing without his safety net, which would be Beckham, and a new tight end that he's trying to work in.
Yeah.
And a bad offensive line.
And a bad O-line. And, you know, once again, I mean, I think looking at week one, a lot of it showed that this is a preseason game. That, I mean, it was a lot of these teams played it like
that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
You got to understand. I mean, once again, you see the injuries that happened in preseason. Then even week one, Allen Robinson was lost to a torn ACL. David Johnson's injury, he's out. You know, they're saying he might be out for 3-4 months.
Keep hearing different things with him. As he could play next week, he can miss half the season. Also, Danny Woodhead looks like he's going to miss the season.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Kevin White.
Well, what's the
another guy?
What's the guy from Kansas City? What was it? Not
Berry. Eric Berry.
Berry. Yeah, Berry
is out for the year.
So that's what I'm saying. So when you talk about preseason, a lot of it is you're trying to figure out who makes the 53-man roster, but a lot of your normal guys don't play, and then what happens is a lot of your normal guys aren't used to getting hit since 6-7 months, and they hurt themselves week one, week two. So I think it's something that needs to be done, whether it's lowering the amount of preseason games. Or giving these teams an extra bye week, but something needs to be done, because 4 preseason games, then your guys go out and get hurt week one. It's shitty football.
Well, preseason is also just about testing the lineup. It's not really for the vets anymore, and that's a problem. You know what I mean? The veterans of that would be like the veteran comic that you right. think you are.
Yes.
It's not for that anymore. It's that's for the new guys to come in and the supporting cast to really prove themselves, and they're doing every single game,
of
so
course.
You're not going to get. A guy like Eli putting in those minutes. And
no, because they don't want to risk getting him hurt.
Of course, he's 36, too.
Look at Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell was holding out all offseason.
Well, he played like it.
And that's what I'm saying. So this was a preseason game for Le'Veon Bell. This was, he had, 5-6 carries or some shit like that?
He had more than that. But if you're in the NFL, I think the thing is, for the first 4 weeks, you want to come out 2-2.
Of course.
You come out 2-2 and you're holding water, now all of a sudden starts to click.
Right.
And if you're relatively healthy, then I think you start to make a little bit of a run at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Giants never really have a full-on momentum from the start either. Like, there's very inconsistent starts to their seasons where they end up powerhousing by the end. Because
right.
that's the thing.
Well, the two Super Bowls that they won, they peaked at the end.
And they
went in as wild cards.
Well, because you always go, here's the difference between the Giants and the Jets. The Giants, you always go, they start and you go, ugh, well, the season's over. And then halfway through, it's like they win every single game. And you're like, what? Okay, so now we're making a playoff.
The Jets season was over at the draft.
Right. And the Jets, at the end of the other season, you go, well, there goes the next season. You know what I mean? It just doesn't matter.
Well, these are two different agendas going into the season. Because the Jets right now, this is about player development.
Of course.
This is about seeing if any of these receivers come through. The kid Hansen, and I like the guy from Alabama. He shows a lot of toughness, and he blocks pretty well.
Darius Stewart. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I kind of like him. And Robbie Anderson, he's going to be a nice little player. And they got some veteran leadership to kind of help him along the way.
They brought in, what's his name?
Curse
from Seattle.
And Curly is back. And I like the trade. Trading Sheldon Richardson, who's on the last year of a contract, getting back a second-round pick and a veteran receiver, and shedding a little bit of money. I don't think that's a bad deal.
I think as long as the Jets, their goal this year should not be to go 0-16. I think if they can go,
they won't go 0-16
or 1-15. I think
there's a lot of bad teams in the league.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to play the Patriots, and you already lost to the Bills, and you get Miami twice. I mean, that's 0-6 right there.
I don't believe that.
I believe it. They're bad. They're bad.
I don't
team.
Believe that. And let me that you brought up something that I wanted to ask both you guys from yesterday. Any surprises? Any surprise that you guys think in the NFL, good or bad?
I'm impressed that
you're talking football. That
I
you're
am
at
impressed.
At
one
a Met
that I'm
game?
Talking football. Two that I'm surviving after the amount that I drank last night. Three that Dak Prescott and the baby Cowboys pick right back up where they left off.
That's a little surprise. Dak looks great.
He really does. I mean, first off, look, I'm so sorry for every single person that goes, "Oh, Tony Romo is the best. Tony Romo is so underrated." Fuck off. Okay, when you can't get out of round one in the playoffs. And you don't take any of the pressure on yourself as basically there's no accountability for crumbling under pressure. He may be skilled in the way that he throws a good spiral or, that he can actually play the position. But just because you're an average player that got slapped with a franchise tag does not mean you're the best. And I think Dak coming in and completely moving him to the side, the way that
he got his job. Because last year, he's third string.
Right.
Kellen Moore goes down, he moves up to second string. Now they just want to kind of give Romo a little bit of a break. Mm-hmm. And Prescott said as soon as he went to the huddle, he kind of felt, hey, this is where I belong. What I meant by saying he looked great last night, he did a lot of overthrows, but he just kind of like didn't lack that leadership and that confidence.
Oh, yeah, no, he's not nervous. He's very calm.
He does what he's supposed to do. He takes care of the football, very minimal turnovers, and that's what this team
needs. That's the huge thing.
Yeah.
He did that as a rookie. He threw 4 interceptions, and everybody, including myself, was saying, oh, man, there's no way he's going to emulate that again this year. Mm-hmm. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
I mean, I'm trying to think. What else was surprising to me? Jacksonville, the way they brought it to Houston. And a game that you would think Houston.
Are they for real?
Well, no. Unfortunately.
10 fucking sacks yesterday.
I will say.
10 sacks against Houston, in Houston. You know, in a city that, you know, we figure like, hey man, J.J. Watt and that whole team rallied around the city, and this is civic pride, and this is good, and they laid a fucking egg. That was brutal.
I think everyone knew Jacksonville's defense, which was pretty decent last year with Jalen Ramsey
Jermaine Fowler.
They have so their defense was improved and it's showing. This is what it's showing me, that at least with Fournette they have ball control, and if they can kind of keep that defense to keep them in every game, I mean they'll be a team that they as long as they're not getting blown out and where Bortles has to throw the ball 50 times.
Do they win that division?
I still think Tennessee is the best team in the division, even though Tennessee had a very tough game against the Oakland team who was...
It's a close game. It was like what you thought it was going to be. That game could have gone either way.
That's what I say. Yeah, it could definitely go either way.
But they lose at home. And you know, I think playoff championship teams win games like that at home. I don't know if Tennessee's ready to make that step.
I kind of do. I mean, you also have to... Oakland was... Record-wise, I believe at the time when Carr went down, they were like the first or second best team in the AFC, right?
Yeah,
they were
down.
First,
right?
Yeah.
They were ahead of New England. They were the first. They were the best record, and Carr goes down. So you have to realize, yeah, this is a growing steps for Tennessee. They have Corey Davis, the rookie. They have Eric Decker. This is his first year in Tennessee. Like Mariota hurt himself last year. This is still a team, I think, and they have DeMarco Murray. And so they have a team offensively that can compete with a lot of teams. I think it's just putting it together. And AFC South is so terrible with Indy and Houston.
Indy, I think we agree, is out. I thought Houston I thought Houston would be the class of that
team.
Are
we sure that they just weren't exhausted from everything? I mean, to quote my good buddy Gino Biscotti, you can't pitch 12 innings when you've been treading water for 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Maybe they're just exhausted getting to the stadium.
I'll say this. I don't think Houston with what was their quarterback? Tom Savage yesterday.
Terrible.
And then they had to bring in the rookie. I don't.
He gave him a spark.
He did give him a spark, but I just don't think that – This is not a Dak Prescott situation where Watson's going to come in and just light the world on fire. I think they're going to go through their growing pains. Even though the defense is Watt and the defense keeps them in games, but I just don't think they have enough to win that division. I think it's Tennessee, Jacksonville, Houston, and then Indy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was something else that's surprised. Oh, Seattle's piss poor performance, but it's a thing with them on the road, and I just don't.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, the first half, you know, they shut out Green Bay.
And then Green Bay put up 16.
And then you can't expect Aaron Rodgers at home opener, like to not light it up at some point. He's going to find something.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, you know, especially with those receivers, and it's Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle's is going to be great. But there's still a lot of moving pieces. They've got Sheldon Richardson. Defense takes a little time to gel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how they ascend as the season goes on.
I think they're still the class of that division. That division's pretty bad. Arizona, Rams, and 49ers.
Arizona completely blew that game. Carson Palmer had a terrible game.
Well, listen, man. Carson Palmer, I think he is.
And so did David Johnson.
Well, I mean, Johnson's hurt now.
Even before he got hurt, he's at one point he had run, I think, 7 times for 9 yards.
Yeah, 7 for 9. Yeah, and I think Seattle is the class of that division. I think they're going to finish at least, I think I'll say 11-5, 12-4 this season. I don't see anyone else in that division keeping up with them.
Seattle will win that division.
Yeah, Seattle should definitely. They should have no problem running away with that division, to be honest.
And I think the Rams are going to surprise you.
I am kind of a big
fan. They're going to make the jump from a 5-win team. I could see, and it could be a matter of a couple of plays between winning 7 and 9 games.
I was going to say the same thing. I can see them as a 7-8 win team this year. I can, with Gurley and Watkins and Goff and Cooper Kupp. They look like a –
Cooper Kupp looks good, man.
Looks good.
Here's one thing that surprised me is that you picked Deloach to co-host over me when clearly I have the superior football knowledge.
And your name is Kevin.
for this conversation. I'm deeply offended, and okay. I just want to interject.
Well, we're gonna switch the subject to something that you know a little something more about. Let's talk a little bit off-season NBA. And I wanted to – that's why I asked Kevin to be on this, because I really wanted his take. And this is something that I've been debating with people back and forth. Who won – the Boston-Cleveland trade?
I think that Cleveland won just flat out in terms of assets. Look, Isaiah is not as good. You could turn your mic off for a second.
I'll keep up with you, Kevin. We're going to go back.
No, trust me, I'm sure you will. no, look, Isaiah is not as good as Kyrie. But I also, I'm not quite sure that Kyrie is as good as we think he is. I think he had an amazing 2 years.
3 years with
3 years LeBron, with LeBron. But really the two he stepped up. He, you know, the first championship he got hurt. He broke his kneecap, came back the second year, really lit it up, became a bona fide superstar.
I don't want to say that LeBron shouldn't have been the MVP of it, but who hits the game winning shot?
Oh yeah, no, totally.
Kyrie.
But that's the thing. Okay, LeBron's now 32, turning 33. You give him, but it's always been like that. When he played among D-Wade gets a last shot. LeBron's shooting percentage is not as great as it could be because he does not focus enough on being a solo scorer. He elevates his team. And yes. So he's always assist over points per game. So he should have more if he wanted it, but that's not the type of player that he is. He's some sort of hybrid of a Scotty and Magic, and it's like he's
stick to the original question.
We're going. I'm circling around.
Yeah, we're going through Connecticut to get this answer.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see you when he brought up the Raiders. I didn't see any wrap it up. Like, come on. Thank you for having me. So what happened? I don't think that. I'm not quite sure that he can hold down a team by himself. And here's why. Is because look at their record.
Is he going to have to do it himself?
No. I mean, look, Gordon Hayward will step up. And then you have Al Horford, who's declining and doesn't put in much. You know, he's got a post-up game, but he doesn't put up much beyond that. But what I'm saying is if you look at the Cavs record with LeBron off the floor compared to on the floor, and Kyrie wants to be the focal point of some sort of offense, I think what happened is people aren't sure if LeBron is leaving, and he doesn't want to live in the shadow of that during the year.
That's true.
And I think that it's easy for him to say, I want to be the focal point of an offense and kind of skirt away the issue that he doesn't want to be a part of the circus. He wants to be a ball player, and he doesn't want to be a part of the soap opera, you know, the drama that comes with being LeBron's player. Unfortunately, it happens. His co-player.
I'll say this. I think as of today, Cleveland won the trade. Next summer, if LeBron leaves, then obviously Boston wins the trade.
For sure.
What were you going to say, Jeff?
I was going to say I'm the only one then who disagrees with both of you.
I think, unfortunately, this is what I will say. I say Cleveland, they got Isaiah Thomas, who, once again, his role is not – he's a ball-dominant player, but at the same time, he doesn't do everything Kyrie does, but he can still score, and he can knock down jump shots. They also got Derrick Rose, who also – now, if you combine those two, and if you move Isaiah Thomas to a six-man role,
right.
I think that's an awesome thing. They got a big –
Thomas is going to start.
Well, Thomas is going to start, but what I'm saying is you can move – Thomas and have him run kind of the second unit so he can get all the shots he wants.
For sure.
But you have also Jay Crowder, who is a huge piece that people are kind of undervaluing right now because he's a guy who's willing to – he's going to have to guard the Kevin Durant of the world, the Carmelo Anthony's.
And he
can get dirty. He can play with that guy.
And you don't have to guard LeBron this year.
Exactly. He doesn't have to guard LeBron. LeBron can kind of move over to – he can gracefully go to the four position, which he likes playing sometimes because I think he doesn't want to chase around guys. But also, Cleveland got that draft pick, which, you know, it's projected anywhere to be. Well, they got
two draft picks.
Well, yeah, they got the first round, which is the key, obviously, for next year. And that's going to be a big thing if LeBron decides to leave. Boston will win the trade, I believe, eventually, because I do think LeBron might leave. And at that point, you have Kyrie, Hayward. But once again, I don't know if Boston has the pieces right now or even next year to win because they do not have enough big players of bigs to compete with the Cleveland or even
they don't,
Washington.
Right. No.
They don't. And I don't think me and you are too far off. I think I'm a little more far off with Kevin. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good trade for both teams.
I think
Cleveland got the best deal that they can get, knowing what they were dealing
look
with.
Look at the market for players that will get traded this offseason.
Right. Well, look at not only players that got
traded, but
players that came out and said, "I want to be traded," and all of a sudden it lowered. Right. So right. Paul George. Indiana panicked.
That was a panic move.
That was a panic.
Oladipo and Sabonis, that's nothing.
Not even a draft pick.
That's what I'm
Jimmy
saying.
Jimmy Butler for Zach LaVine.
At least they got a draft pick.
They got a draft pick.
Right.
It's not a good trade. I agree with you.
Right.
But Cleveland held tight, and I think both teams did
both
well.
Teams did
the reason
well.
Why I think Boston does good, they get the best player. They got a 25-year-old mm-hmm. point guard.
They get an updated Isaiah.
Right, who is going – he's better than Isaiah.
Updated, okay? I'm saying. Yeah.
But he was also rising, who has been through the playoff grind. I like it. Overall, Boston hurts its team because they lost the grittiness of the team. Besides Crowder, they also lost Avery Bradley, which I think is used, and
right.
Kelly Olynyk.
Okay, mm-hmm. Amir Johnson.
And Amir Johnson, that's right.
Some other guys,
that's a good one. And the only person they replaced him with was
Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris.
Yeah.
The twin.
Okay, right.
To me, it feels like that they're a little bit abandoning their plan because they were about 2 years ahead of their rebuild plan.
It's going to take them
unit.
A little while for
well,
that group to
like,
gel.
It seems like
it's
they're trying
group.
To skip steps, get a couple more superstar-oriented. Like, they had to jump at Kyrie, and they got it. So now it's let's alter what our plan was and see if we can combine these guys and maybe make a little bit of a different run towards
but
it.
Cleveland did – I'm sorry, Lawrence. But Cleveland did well for themselves. If LeBron decides to stay, and he could stay.
Okay? He could stay, totally.
So now he has some assets. Now, if he decides to stay and they don't want to keep the number one, then they trade it for approving another three.
Yeah.
And now you get back to a big three with a pretty nice bench. If he decides to go, well, now they got some building blocks.
Right.
And they'll have plenty of capital.
That's why they're investing in those picks.
You're right about Crowder. He's a good
great
player.
Three and D guy.
You can't count on Isaiah because he's got – if that's arthritis in that hip, mm-hmm. he'll never be the same player again. And D. Rose, you got on a one-year bargain basement contract.
Yeah, well, Dr. Glass there.
Dr. Glass.
I'll say this about Cleveland. I think they're more equipped this year – if to play the Warriors than they were last year. And I'll say
If Isaiah comes back healthy, yes. If not, no.
I think if he comes back healthy and they have
and no one's beating the Warriors anyway.
Well, no, I mean, so I think it'll take LeBron to score 60 and dish off 20 assists. But what I'm saying is, in terms of them playing a 5-game series against the Warriors this year versus what they if they play the Warriors in the finals for the fourth consecutive year, I think they would be more equipped. I think it would go at least six.
Well,
or
they
seven
they have
games.
More bench power, and that and that's what
power. Right
and
right
that's depth.
And that was the problem with the Cavs Warriors series this year, where when LeBron would go to the bench, Kyrie and if you I don't know if you guys watched it, but
Klay
Kyrie,
took him out a little
what,
bit.
Yeah, what happens is when LeBron went to the bench, Kyrie had to lead the team, and he wasn't equipped to lead the team. There would be stretches when LeBron would go out and then Golden State would go on a 7-0 run, and this was like game three and game
right.
four or game three. I remember in Cleveland when they were up, they shot the lights out in game four to win. I'm sorry, game four to win game four, and they were up, and then LeBron went out for a couple minutes, and then Kyrie couldn't lead the team. So that's what I'm saying. So this year it's kind of like, all right, you have D. Rose, you have Isaiah Thomas, you have Crowder, you have Love, you have Thompson. Like you have pieces. You have J.R. Smith. You still have Shumpert. There's a lot of things that they can throw at.
I don't think they have enough real scorers to keep up with the Warriors.
Well, Isaiah Thomas scored around. They're almost 30
per game.
He scores 30 per game. He'll give up 40 a game because he plays zero defense. You thought Kyrie played no defense?
Right.
Watch this kid play.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people are understanding.
He physically can't do it.
Right, but you also have – you have a Love and you have a LeBron on that same unit that can
– Well, Love is not a defender. LeBron's –
no, really?
No, not a – listen, not a flight –
I'll say he's
a.
not a consistent defender.
There you
but
go.
when he applies – like when he had Curry, he took him out of the game.
And that's the other thing I think that's going to elevate
– a bum – or whatever Curry had last year. I mean,
yeah, but still give him credit for a lot. He had a lot of post-up defense in the year before.
No, this year, I thought he had a great playoff this year.
So did I.
I thought this
yeah,
was
I
better.
Thought,
I think
it's
3 years
year
on team.
For
yeah,
sure,
absolutely.
Years. Yeah, it's interesting. Time will tell with that, but I think that the picks that the Cavs got, you got an upgrade at a power forward. You got Isaiah if he comes back healthy that can play with LeBron. Again, you get D. Rose. And you have kind of like a downtrodden Harden and CP3. You got two point guards playing against each other that can both shoot.
This is what I will say about Jeffrey, about Boston. I do agree with you. I think they are expecting a lot out of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. I think you're expecting Jaylen Brown to make a huge leap in his second year.
I think he will.
Well, he was great in the finals. Super poised, I think.
I mean, he played well in the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston. I mean, against Cleveland. But it's like, you got to realize they lost around 6 or 7 of their, top 11 players.
I like the kid Tatum, too, and I love the coach over there.
But that's what I'm saying. So Tatum looks great.
I don't think they're going to be a number one. I think Cleveland still comes out number one, and I think they still come out of the conference.
And honestly, I think I'll say this. Boston went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I'm not so sure that they're better than Washington this year.
I was just going to ask you guys this. Do you guys see – because everyone talks about the West. Do you guys see like a sneaky pick coming out of the East?
There's like five teams in the East that legitimately are head and shoulders above everyone. You got Cleveland, then you have in the second tier, it's like Washington, Boston, Toronto, mm-hmm. and then right underneath those guys is
Chicago.
Milwaukee. No, Chicago is going to
be. Well, I mean,
but did you say
that.
Milwaukee?
Milwaukee's going to be major.
I think they have the player on the rise.
What do you think about
Giannis.
Philly right now? Philly on paper looks great.
On paper,
thank you. Can these guys play one quarter together? Ben Simmons. Supposedly is healthy. Mm-hmm. Embiid still has not been cleared to play full contact.
But I think Embiid will play.
Will he play more than 35 games?
I went down
to Philly and saw him play live. The kid's amazing.
But you know what?
He's great. He brings energy to the arena. He brings energy to the team. But these kids have not played one second together.
What I will say about Embiid is I think they shut him down last year so they can kind of tank and get a higher pick. I think that was the consensus.
I think that's been their game plan from the beginning.
That's been the playoff. Yeah, I think since 2000.
I think the second AI left, they were like, okay, let's just be terrible.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation in Philadelphia. I mean, when you have Simmons, Fultz, Embiid, Dario Saric,
don't forget they also signed JJ Redick.
Yeah, JJ. They have Amir
Johnson to really stretch the court. Yeah, absolutely. And you see what he's making this year?
Yeah, he's making like $23 million.
Yeah,
it's
he's also on, I think, on 1 year contract.
He's on a 1 year deal. Yeah, so it's like it doesn't harm Philadelphia at all to bring him in, and he got his little payday, and then he can go to another team if he wants to leave after this year.
What do you guys think of Miami? I think Miami's a sleeper. I think they could go either way, like every year, though. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like they have – who do they have?
Who are you excited about in Miami right now?
Well, Whiteside. I think Whiteside plays well.
Whiteside, Dragic. Waiters. Johnson. James Johnson. And then there's what's the other guy? Justice Winslow, he'll be back next year.
Is Miami better than Milwaukee?
Absolutely not.
Because I find Milwaukee to be a more exciting team just to watch.
They are.
Because of Giannis, who's becoming my favorite player.
Like I said, Milwaukee is, Jabari Parker comes back healthy, Giannis, you have Brogdon.
Yeah, the rookie of the year.
Brogdon was rookie of the year. If those guys come back healthy another year, I don't see them being too far under that second tier, the Washington, Boston, and Toronto tier. But once again, I mean, Cleveland's still the class of that conference, and I don't see LeBron. Unless LeBron gets hurt, no one's beating them in the playoffs, in the Eastern Conference at least.
Do you think the Timberwolves are finally going to pull the trigger and be who everyone thinks that they could be?
I honestly think Minnesota will definitely make the playoffs this year. My only issue with
they're
Tom
not
Thibodeau,
a top four team.
No, they're
people
not.
Are predicting.
It's like, and they're another team that's like, they stick to the plan. They have this young core of players that are growing up together. But
and another good coach there.
Yeah, I just feel like every year they kind of just escape their potential of what they could be as a team. You know what I mean?
I think this year is the year that they will at least make the playoffs. Now the West.
They brought in good veterans as well.
Jeff Teague.
That was an under the radar signing. Good signing.
I mean, honestly, I'll say this: I kind of like Rubio for that team a little bit better because he would be able to distribute the ball a little bit, but I definitely like T's been really good in Atlanta, Indiana, but when you go through the West, and I'll just say this real quick, guys, it's so top heavy. You have Golden State, OKC, Houston, San Antonio, Minnesota. Who else? The Clippers. Denver made some major moves.
Millsap.
They got Millsap. So you have seven teams right there, and I know I'm forgetting someone.
You're forgetting your favorite team.
The Lakers, we'll win 30 games this year, and I will be happy about it. But, the Western Conference, I've never seen it this. Like it, you have to realize one man, Kevin Durant, changed the entire landscape of the NBA.
Absolutely.
Entire landscape. You've never seen teams were making moves just to compete with Golden State. Never, nothing like this has ever been done before.
Well, I mean, they also changed the way. Not only did KD change the landscape of the NBA by joining them, but that team already changed the way that the game is played for the last 3 years. Everyone moved to small ball. Like, look at all of the old school big men that like teams would kill to have back in the day.
Everyone didn't play the triangle?
Right. No.
You Phil Jackson was a little out of touch.
It looks more like the circle when they do it. No, but you have all these big men. What's his name? Cousins, Davis. They're all great players, but they're almost irrelevant.
No, I would. You know what? I would say Anthony Davis is one of those guys. He's 6'10", 6'11". He could play three positions if he really wants to. His problem is injuries. I think DeMarcus Cousins is one of those guys. It's an interesting thing with him because, like you said, he's a big, and the way the NBA is played, it's more of a, you know, like you said, a shooter's league, and guys, you know, you got Kevin Durant who's like damn near 7 feet playing.
Well, a lot of teams had to play that way because no one had a real center.
Yeah, I mean, this
even Golden State doesn't have a real center.
No, not anymore.
But when they won a championship, I mean, they had guys like Andrew Bogut, and last year, I mean, they had, who they have? Zaza.
But when they lost the championship, right, they lost Andrew Bogut.
The Cavs picked him up, and then he got hurt.
In the first minute.
So, you got to realize, I mean.
I just wanted the Cavs to look like they did not want Darren Williams getting a ring.
Well, honestly, I thought he looked great last
year. Darren Williams.
He
looked horrible in the finals.
The finals, but in the playoffs, he stepped up huge. He had a bad finals, but he had a really good playoff
finals. I think we've ever seen.
Brutal. I hated it. We had a terrible finals years ago. Remember James Harden?
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why OKC felt comfortable enough to trade him.
Yeah.
That goes to show you. I mean, you can't judge a player by one.
Well, didn't he got six man that year, didn't he?
He got six man. He went Manu Ginobili on the Spurs in the conference finals, and everyone was like so excited about the team. And then Miami was just a better team. They outsmarted them. They took advantage of mismatches. They went up against Kendrick Perkins when he shouldn't have been in the game. And then Harden looked horrible in the finals. He had one of the worst finals I've ever watched.
It was brutal. It was for a player of that character.
They won the first game and then lost four straight after
that.
They
won the first game.
Are you guys excited to see Houston?
I am. I'm excited to see what happens with them.
Harden, Chris Paul.
There's certain things I like about the deal, certain things I don't like. I love the fact that you get the ball out of Harden's hands when, like, he averaged around six turnovers a game last year. And I think with Chris Paul, that's going to bring some of those turnovers down. But at the same time, the offense flowed so amazingly through Harden because he was able to pick apart defenses, kick out the shooters.
He was the ultimate weapon with that team.
That's
like,
what I'm
there are shooters on there, but it was him. He was a good point guard because he controlled and did whatever he wanted.
But that's the thing. And what we've always noticed about Chris Paul ever since he's been, at least since I've watched him at Wake Forest, he's been one of those half court point guards. He's like Steve Nash was able to run into D'Antoni's system because he was like, then he believed, like, listen, you know, 7 seconds or less, shoot the ball. But I don't know if Chris Paul's body at 31, or I think he's like 31, if that's going to hold up over the course of a 82-game season. And D'Antoni also has an issue to me where he overexerts his point guards. Where he had Jeremy Lin,
and he don't like black players.
Well, I mean, he got into it with he got into it with Carmelo. He's got into it with a couple players like Dwight Howard. They didn't like him.
Well, look to the players you just brought up.
Yeah,
Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, two coach fucking killers.
Yeah, both of those guys are.
And now where is Dwight Howard?
I mean, fucking in Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Yeah,
he's playing for
exactly.
The fucking Hornets.
Yeah.
He went home and then home kicked him out.
This is fourth team in 4 years?
Lakers, Houston, Atlanta, and Charlotte.
They played with Houston for two seasons?
One? He played one season.
I wasn't sure if it was two.
No, he played with them for two seasons. Then he went to Atlanta last year.
No. Because, I mean, he did go to Atlanta last year, but he was with the Lakers the year before.
He was with the Lakers. He got traded to the Lakers in 2012. So 2012-2013, he was with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Then 13-14 and 14-15, he was with Houston. 15-16.
Atlanta.
And then 16, no, because it's got to be, no. Because,
I think you're off a year.
No, because listen, 12-13, 2012-2013 is with the Lakers. That was one season. And then from 13-14, 14-15.
How many years did you do 1 year with the Lakers?
He only did one because we got him with 1 year left. And we were like, he's going to stay with us. And then he left. So he played with the Lakers for 2012-2013. Then 13-14, 14-15,
We're giving too much time to
Howard. We're giving a lot of time, but it's like he played with Houston for, I believe, two or three seasons. Two, and then he went to
his
Atlanta.
Last good year was when he was probably with Orlando.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was, you know, prime Dwight.
It was when he had hope of being the next Shaq.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Listen, I don't really care for Dwight. I didn't like the way he left L.A. I feel like he should have stayed, but whatever.
Well,
he did the same thing
with Houston, though. He did the same thing. They came out and apologized for him. Like, when you have a press conference to apologize for a player.
You don't think that's a good thing to do?
No.
No, I don't think so.
But, you don't think you should apologize for this guy just signed?
I'm going to go on Facebook Live after this podcast and apologize to everyone that follows me for being on this. That's what I'm going to do. I'm joking. It's the same type of thing. You don't want that type of negativity. That's basically them going, all right, you ever been on stage and then have someone heckle you or they're awful in the crowd and then they leave and then you clear the air with the rest of the crowd and go, okay, they're gone, and the show completely turns around.
Sure.
That's exactly what they were doing. They were getting rid of the negative energy. They were going, hey, sorry about this season. We're going to put it on this dude, and he's now in Atlanta.
It's kind of an interesting
analogy.
Have faith
in us. Have faith in us, and then let's clear the air between us. Yeah. We're good. He was the one that was bad.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
And it also opened up more space for Clint Capella.
Yeah, Capella's actually – I like him. I like Capella. I think
he fits better.
Yeah, I mean, because he's one of those centers that doesn't need the ball to – you know, he makes plays defensively, and he's a rim protector, so I kind of like him.
Okay. Now, since we're also up against the clock here a little bit, let's move the subject over. I just want to know, you guys boxing fans?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. We'll talk about – that fucking sideshow in a second, but I'd rather talk about wanting to hear your picks. And both of you guys are invited over to my house this week. I'm going to have the Canelo Triple G fight. But the three people that listen to this, you know, can come over too.
Terry's one; she'll be there.
Yeah, she won't listen to this. but who do you guys like, Canelo Triple G?
I'm a big Triple G fan, man. I know that's it might go against the grain, but I think Triple G.
I don't think it goes against the grain.
All right. Well,
I think the consensus is kind of split on this one. What do you think, Kev?
I don't know enough about the guys. Here's the problem, man. Like, I was back in when the welterweights became the heavyweights in terms of marquee fights. Mm-hmm. I was watching every single fight, knew every single fighter. As soon as that kind of died down, and then the Klitschkos decided to kill the heavyweight division,
ruined boxing. In my opinion.
It kind of pushed. I kind of fell out of it. So I don't know a lot of these guys coming up. I do know Canelo. I do like him. That's De La Hoya's boy, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, man. I gotta go with him on this. Basically because I only know him.
You know.
So right. I'm gonna go with that.
Here's the thing with both these guys, and this is why this is the best fight in this millennium in boxing, because you have two truly gifted fighters in their prime on their way up. This is what Mayweather Pacquiao should have been years ago.
It's Mayweather Hatton. Do you remember when Ricky Hatton fought?
Okay, but that was shit.
That was a great fight.
That was not a great fight.
That
was a garbage fight.
Ricky Hatton
used his face to block every one of those punches. he was never a good. He's a fun fighter to watch. Yeah.
But he was a fun fighter.
But he was not for Floyd. That was a matchup mismatch. It was disgusting.
Yeah, but most fights are a mismatch for Floyd.
See, but this fight isn't. The way these two guys' styles are, mm-hmm. this is a great fight. And that's why I think it's great for boxing. And this is the fight that people should be focused on. I think if it goes to a decision, I see it being Triple G. I could see the knockout coming by way of Canelo. I think this is a great, great fight. I hope people that tune in buy this fight and really support this fight. What do you guys think about the other one? Mayweather, exactly. Mayweather, Conor McGregor.
It was everything.
Please tell me you guys didn't buy it.
No. I watched it through the window of a bar on the way to his spot.
Okay, I had nose pressed up against the bar.
I was like, hey, smoking a cigar. Can you move your mozzarella sticks for a second, please? I'm trying to get 50 cents worth.
It's everything you expected from a Floyd Mayweather fight. You know, it's designed to sell fights. Floyd Mayweather, he's stepping into a ring against a guy who's never boxed a professional fight in his life.
Correct.
So, I mean, come on, right there, I should tell you, you know. And obviously Floyd, I think Floyd could have did him in round three if he really wanted to.
He let that go for the money.
You're both 100% right.
Well, here's what happens is, look, I've been following Mayweather since I was about 16, which was 55 years ago. I think that Mayweather is the best defensive fighter that boxing has ever seen. The guy doesn't have cauliflower ear.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's unbelievable. And I hate when people go, oh, he's a boring fighter, his fights suck. Because as a technical boxing fan, I can't get enough of watching this dude not be be like no one. He's impenetrable. No one can get to him. Zab Judah got to him a little bit, but no one gets to him. And it always bothered me when people go, he's not the best ever. He's not the best pound for pound. I'm sorry, because we've never seen him battle tested, and we won't say that until we've seen him throwing blows in the middle of the ring, shoulder to shoulder. But my point is like. Doesn't that, if there's no one around to test you in battle, doesn't that make you the best?
No,
if
but
no one can put you in that position, doesn't that make you?
But he's always was accused of ducking fighters in their prime.
Yeah.
And not, and, right. And, yeah. And then, LaVoya, and then find them when they're past
Pacquiao.
It. Right.
Well, to be fair, that fight was, it took about 5 years to get that fight going. That could have happened 5 years earlier.
That's when it should have happened.
That's what everyone's
saying. That's what should have happened.
Right. Yeah, but he's not wrong for basically, what the claims that didn't fight were Mayweather wanted Olympic-style drug testing because Pacquiao had been known to have used performance-enhancing drugs. He'd been caught doing that. So Mayweather wanted Olympic-style testing. Pacquiao said he cannot get his blood drawn the week of the fight. And so what they said was, we can't legally tell you when we're going to come. But we're not going to ruin a fight. Mm-hmm. We're not stupid enough to do this on a thing that's going to make you, quote-unquote, weak the day of the fight. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. He would not agree to that. So everyone kept going, Floyd is dodging this fight because he won't cater to another style of drug testing. But no one even knew that if Mayweather came in 1 pound over what he was supposed to, I swear to God, I believe the figure is he owed $1 million to Pacquiao per pound he came over. Like, he had all these crazy stipulations that he also didn't want to agree to, but it got thrown around because Mayweather's the loudest in the room that, oh, he's dodging the fight. He's the reason that this didn't go. But those two sides, I don't think either side wanted to fight each other. I don't.
Hmm.
And then 5 years later, they finally get it signed.
Mean, listen, man, when it's over $100 million, I think, I don't give a fuck. I'll fight whoever for over $100 million.
Yeah, put an IV in me.
$100 million. Lawrence, right now, if I told you go, I'll fight the fucking bum on the street, yo, I'll give you $35 on a sandwich, you do it.
Right, with an IV in his arm.
Lawrence is like, let's bring it on.
That's why you cannot be mad at a guy like Conor McGregor for fighting Floyd.
I'm not mad at Conor McGregor. But I'm mad at the idiots who said, oh, yo, he looked really good.
It was the unexpected.
No, he didn't. Floyd carried him. Could have taken him out any time he wanted. At any time, you guys saw the fight. At any time, did you ever feel that Floyd was even in ounce of trouble?
And here's why. Is for a defensive technician like him to be on the offensive. The only reason that McGregor got as many punches in under Conkybox numbers as he did was because Mayweather was on the offensive and knew he was going to take some shots and didn't give a shit because he knew he had nothing against him. He literally was it was calling a dog over. Come on, come on, come on. We're going to give them their money's worth. I'm going to go 50-0. I'm going to beat the record. This is going to be amazing. And for once, people won't say that I ran away. They'll say that I was on the offensive. That fight.
It would have been a good fight to watch, Styles. Mayweather, Bernard Hopkins.
Oh yeah,
that would have been great.
Talk about counter puncher guys, and Hopkins also. He can mix it up with you a little bit too, and he killed you with the body blows.
Yeah, what was it? Hopkins Taylor,
Jermaine Taylor.
Yeah, they had some great fights between them.
Two of them.
Now, honestly, man, if you guys talking about really good fights, man, we got to go back to like 1908 when Jack Johnson and them dudes was fighting because they was fighting 45 round fights, man.
Yeah, I remember being at one of those fights one time, and Roger Mayweather was on the fight, and you still couldn't understand him when he spoke.
Imagine you fight a dude. I think
I've seen the oil painting of you ringside.
The oil painting.
They'd be like round one.
We used oil based paints.
What a
round one of 45, and you get knocked out round 39. They're like, he's pussy. He couldn't go 45 rounds. 39, that's all you could stand up for.
Punk ass bitch.
39 rounds. We
best boxer of all time.
I mean, I'm going to say Muhammad Ali.
No. Jeff.
You're not going to like my decision.
Who are you going to say?
I was going to say I liked Alexis Arguello.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to know why you think Ali was the greatest.
I think, I look at not only fighting, like not only fights, but like, you know, the the mic work and, you know, the way he cuts pro, like, it, to me, that was, you know, that's the
part of the game.
It's part of the game. I mean, you know, you don't, I mean, you, once again, they're
great for boxing.
Like, he was the complete great, package for complete, that. He was the star that boxing needed to become where it was. I won't take that away. Here's my argument. I think that Foreman was the greatest of all time. And here's why. Is because
Olympian.
Well, yeah. No. Because it took Ali 3 fights to put Frazier away. And Frazier won the first fight, and then
the Foreman-Frazier fight, I think, is where you're
five
going.
Five rounds. No. Two rounds, five knockdowns.
The matchup was just terrible for
Frazier. Brutal. Yeah. So it took two rounds, five knockdowns for Foreman to beat Joe Frazier. It took three fights.
That was Foreman. That's Foreman in his prime.
Right.
Who was a fucking animal.
He was. And here's what I think. It took Ali 3 fights to beat Frazier. Now,
great puncher.
Now, Ali was in Africa, dodged a draft, fought in Africa, lost his license in America, couldn't box in America. And Foreman came over a week before, got hurt during training, was not used to the climate, and Foreman in his younger days was a fucking animal. He walked
absolutely
through people, you know, when he, zero defense.
When he fought Joe Frazier, do you know where that fight was?
No.
Nassau Coliseum.
No shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Nassau Coliseum, they fought.
Joe, wow, that's crazy.
A young 16-year-old punk from...
right.
From Staten Island.
So what happens is...
I love Joe Frazier.
What happens here, though, is Foreman comes over to Africa, doesn't prepare for the fight fully, knocks himself out. Because if you look at the uppercut that Ali knocked Foreman down with that ultimately ended the fight, he barely connected. That was not a great thing. Mm. That was where the rope-a-dope came out. Foreman knocks himself out. Here's my argument. Foreman never got a rematch. Frazier got the rematch. Everyone else got a rematch when Ali...
Yeah, I always wondered that.
Won, because he knew that Foreman would come back and train, and Ali would lose that fight, hands down. He never got the rematch. Now, if Foreman developed the Philly shell defense, the crossbody defense that he had in his 40s as a young kid, I think he would have been unstoppable. He had no defense when he was young. He just walked through people and uppercutted them. Look at what he did to Jerry Cooney when they were in their 40s. It was unbelievable.
He fought Jerry Cooney?
Yes, and he gave him brain damage. Watch that fight.
George Foreman fought Jerry Cooney?
Yeah, in his 40s. That. And it's the greatest thing I've ever seen, because he
who
knocks
cares
him
about
out.
Jerry Cooney, man? He wasn't good.
He knocks him out with an uppercut.
If he was black, would anyone care?
No. Knocks him out with an uppercut. Cooney is out on his feet. It takes Foreman maybe 7 punches. Single, calculated, the hardest punches I've ever seen anyone take in his fucking life. Exactly. For Cooney to hit the ground. And Foreman, old Foreman was young Foreman with defense. And if he had that in his prime, I think he would have been unstoppable. He never got the rematch.
I think the other guy who I liked besides Alexis Cuello was Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray Leonard. Really, George? You had a problem with Sugar Ray Leonard. Didn't duck anybody. He could fight speed. He can stand there toe-to-toe with you. He fought great fights against Wilfred Benitez and then goes toe-to-toe with fucking, what's his name, Thomas Hearns. Mm-hmm. First pay-per-view fight I've ever seen. Be the same way. Talking to the microphone.
If I was on crack, I'd be the same way.
All right, now stop saying that.
I'd be just as fast.
No, you wouldn't.
As a matter of fact, I would fight him in my prime.
Would you?
I'd do a couple of lines and a couple of blows and all that.
You need to add some PCP to that as well.
Exactly.
To be able to do that.
No. Stuff that, you know, you hit me with a stick, I'm still going to keep coming at you. Dust. I'll do some dust before I walk into that room.
George, who do you like? Did you like those Spanish fighters?
Boxing? Oh, my God. You know,
I regret asking this question already.
Beast, straight up.
Foreman was a beast, man. He was great.
Beast. Muhammad Ali, another beast. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Tyson, the greatest beast. You know, and then, of course, Jack Johnson. I know you guys think,
We just talked about Jack. I just said, man, Jack Johnson, 45-round matches, man.
Bare knuckles.
Beating white dudes and
that's
taking
what
women,
I love,
man.
Bro, that he come beat on. White dudes.
And took their women it, right
it's
after.
About time. Like, that was the beginning.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like that part.
Yeah. I love seeing white dudes get beat up.
Yo, what is this, race wars or the sportsbook podcast?
Race war, just that he just took, and then he'd be screwing the white women.
Yo, they had a thing called the Man Act because
we're going to edit this part out, right?
What did they have? The Mann Act.
The Mann Act. It was like you couldn't transport like a women over state line, like prostitutes.
Oh, the white women.
Yeah, because that was his thing. So
he,
you know,
loved white women.
So if you got
white women.
I mean, who doesn't?
But you know what I liked about him? His tenacity and his. The greatness. I love that he would say to somebody, "I'm gonna beat you, keep you up, and I'm gonna beat you." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Yeah, keep him up and beat him."
Well, fucking Tyson. Tyson said the same thing, but he said it in not as eloquently as he said it.
I'm going to break your head off.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if this offends anyone. This is a direct quote from him. I could not. I don't think I slept that night when he looked at the white guy and goes, "You're a white bitch. You could not live a second in my world. I'm going to fuck you till you love me, faggot."
That was great. That was great. That was great. That was a great one.
One of the greatest ones ever.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you.
So funny.
Well done, Dombrowski.
I remember seeing that.
You know what would happen in my butthole? They said, "Oh, God, it's going to hurt."
Yeah. He said, "I'm a real man. You can't last a minute in my world. I'll eat your asshole. I'm going to fuck you till you love me, faggot."
Did he also tell that guy, "I'll eat your children"?
That's
my favorite.
Lennox Lewis. He told Lewis he's
going to
eat
his children. The same press conference.
There's a YouTube video of his just greatest lines. He was talking to, what's the dude from sports radio? Russ?
Sal Palantoni or something.
No, Russ Salzburg.
Russ Salzburg. Yeah,
I saw that.
He was like, he said something to Mike, and Mike flipped out him. He said, "All right, Mike, we're done." He said, "Fuck you," with some shit like that.
Oh, turn your station off. You don't like, I'm talking to you how I want to be talking to you. You don't like it? Turn your station off.
I'll tell you one thing. I saw Mike Tyson's one man show.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, it was amazing.
It was amazing. It was great.
Really
amazing. I 100% always thought that he was framed on that rape. He admits to everything he did. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was the one thing he always adamantly protested.
Yeah, to this day.
And I think he was right. Listen, we just got the wrap up. Can we go another minute?
Well, I mean, I wanted to say something.
Go say something.
I never even cared about him raping, anybody. He was the greatest.
Well,
boxer.
She wasn't white,
he
so.
Could just, rape away as long as you're giving me a good fight, bro.
I saw a homeless guy outside doing the same thing. So.
Yeah. Oh, he was good fighting?
Yeah, raping away and giving a good fight.
I'm joking.
All right, guys, let's wrap this up. Plugs. Kevin, where can we find you? Can give some information where people can actually follow you? They care.
Serge, if they care. Kevin Dombrowski on all social media. I got kevindombrowski.com. It's up now. It's in constructive work. So if you see some sort of Russian language in there, it's because I don't know how to use Squarespace. No, that's up.
Where are you going to be?
Tonight. Is this live or is this taped? When does this come out?
It's tonight. It'll come out today.
All right. So I will have bounced all over the city by the time you've heard this, so you'll miss everything that I'm doing. No, I got a couple weekends coming up. Levity in October with Mencia. Nice. I'll be at Yonkers with Angelo Lozado the first week, and then headlining Riddles in Chicago October 27th, 28th.
Awesome. Who's letting you play with us Latinos?
I got a card.
How'd you get a car, son? You must have a Puerto Rican in your bed.
I live
son.
On 112.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Deloche, where do we find you?
You can go to my website, LawrenceDeloche.com. I got dates. I'll be in Boston on the.
Are you doing the Boston Comedy Festival?
I'm doing some shows. Yeah, I'm doing some shows out there. On the 25th, I'll be in Hoboken for the Hoboken Comedy Festival. I'll be doing some shows there. And then September 29th, 30th, and I think 31st, I'll be in South Carolina for the Cola City Comedy Festival.
Okay, sounds good stuff. You can see me, if anyone's listening, this Friday night, I'll be at Vesuvio with Mark DeMeo. Some tickets I think are still available. And September...
That's the raping and fighting tour, right?
That's what that would exactly be. And September 30th at the Looney Bin with Paul Bond.
Nice.
What about me? I don't get to talk.
George, go ahead.
Shit,
take us
I'm
home.
Everywhere.
George, where are you going to be in 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'm going to be downstairs today.
eating the sandwich.
Send this shit up again.
He ordered a chicken cutlet palm, I heard.
Yeah, exactly. But
no napkins.
Actually, it's going to be funny because you're probably going to hear a lot more about what we're doing starting the 15th to the 15th. I can't tell anybody anything, but September 15th to October 15th, just keep your... TV on, your news on, you'll hear about us.
I want to see this
on TV.
Are
you going to drive a car into Times Square?
No. I'm going to drive it into your house.
What an ominous promotion.
Your card off.
Listen, no. But don't be anywhere near Times Square.
You're going to see me. Keep the TV on. Keep your radio on.
Keep your baby on. Yeah. Right? We're coming for
you. Have the rosary on you.
Yep. We're coming for you. No. I just can't say anything about it because it's. We already got on TV for it this year. And we're doing, you know, a citywide tour, actually, but it's something that we've been doing for,
awesome,
you know, a while. So yeah, we got a career, son. We have a career.
Look out, people. Keep your TVs on.
All right, guys. Sportsbook Box Office Podcast will be back in 2 weeks. Kevin Goatee should be here, and we'll see you then. Good night, everybody.
Later.
Bye.